This gospel message is brought to you by the Reformed Witness Hour, a ministry of the Protestant Reformed Churches in America. A Reformed denomination that strives to be faithful to the Word of God and the historic confessions of the Reformed faith, also known as Calvinism. In love for our great God, we proclaim the Christian faith and life that is founded on God's sovereign particular grace. As God's Word is expounded, we pray that these messages are a blessing to you.
There is nothing that reminds us of life more than death. There is nothing that makes us appreciate life more than the thought of dying. When we face sickness, disease, affliction, persecution, pain, then we realize that what a tremendous blessing health and life is. No matter who we are, we struggle to hold on to this earthly life. After all, man was created with this life, and it is precious. But there are many troubles in life that confront us. Psalm 27 is a beautiful chapter of the Bible that has encouraged and comforted God's people throughout the ages. The last verse of this psalm, verse 14, that we will be considering today, reads like this: Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. These are words of encouragement to all of God's people, whether we are old or young. In fact, David probably penned the words of this particular psalm before he became king over Israel, which means that he was quite young yet, although it is true that in his youth he faced death many more times than one usually does in their youth. It is the goal and desire of every child of God, young and old, to dwell in the house of God to all eternity. So says the psalmist in verse 4 of this chapter. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. That is the end toward which the child of God strives. He wants to see the goodness of Jehovah in the land of the living. Yet God's people will never reach that goal without first seeing troubles and sorrows in life. The psalmist speaks of those troubles in many of the verses of this psalm. For example, verse 2, When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Or verse 5, For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. Or verse 10, When my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Even though we realize that God Himself sends such afflictions and burdens in life to accomplish our salvation, that does not relieve our misery. No one likes to suffer. No one enjoys heartache and pain. No one will ever say that they delight in the troubles of this present life. Life's burdens are oftentimes too much to bear, so they seem. We can hardly go on with life. Our spirits are dampened. Enthusiasm for life is gone, we become depressed or cast down. And it is at this time that our enemy, the devil, is at hand too, to add to our troubles. The psalmist says, The wicked, our enemies, come upon us to eat up our flesh. Satan does that. He tells us in times of trouble that God has left us and has forsaken us in our time of need. The devil whispers to us at times, God has turned His face from you. You seek Him, but He's not listening to you. God will not help you. Why should He? You're too much of a sinner. You have wronged God far too often. But the result of all these troubles in life is that we can grow weary and faint, and our hearts can grow weak. Our troubles become heavy burdens, which we are convinced we can no longer bear. And we become impatient sometimes with God and try to use our own arm of flesh to overcome. But we cannot. And then our spiritual feet begin to slip and we begin to question the hand of God in our lives. Have you ever had that? Ever had such a heavy burden in life that such becomes true? To see a loved one suffer under the hand of a terminal illness, which we know will eventually take his or her life. To experience the pain and difficulties involved with such illness, or to sit by helplessly watching one struggle, unable to do much more than to be there and to pray. That's painful. It hurts. It cuts to the depths of one's soul. One thing I desire, O Lord, give it to me, that I may see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that's but one example of the sorrows that can arise in our lives. We know of many others, especially when there is the burden of perhaps loved ones forsaking the truth and walking in folly's way. The pain and the sorrow is sharp, and we grieve for them. We fret and we worry about them, even when they in their sin lash out at us. And all these troubles are real. They are so real. And they make our hearts very, very weak. They hurt us. Sometimes even more than physical pain can hurt. And then is when we need to hear the words of this chapter and the verse especially that we consider. Listen. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Do you hear that, weary soldier of the cross? Wait on the Lord. All of us need to hear these words of encouragement. Old and young alike. The term here for wait in this verse literally means endure. So that this verse really would read, endure in Jehovah. Enduring very simply means, from a negative point of view, do not give up. Do not simply cave in when the difficulties of life press on you. But positively, we must remain firm in our resolve that all things in life are sent us by God and are for our good and will accomplish God's good pleasure for us. When the psalmist is asking us to wait, he's not asking of us, you know, the impossible. We are enjoined here to wait on the Lord, or as we have noticed, we must endure in Jehovah. That name Jehovah is God's covenant name. And as such, it reminds us of God's enduring faithfulness towards His people. It reminds us of what God has done for us and continues to do for us. You see, Jehovah has made us a promise. And that promise is this. I will give you the place of your desires. Heaven awaits you. That is God's promise that the people in Christ, the people of God in Christ, receive. I will not forsake you in your need, and I will be there to give you what your desire is. And as the never-changing I am, because literally that's what Jehovah means, God will certainly keep what He promises. From eternity, God has chosen His own in His sovereign love, and nothing in this world is going to snatch them away from that love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Our Savior has come, and Christ has already fulfilled in principle our desire to dwell in the house of the Lord. Not only has He done that through His saving work on the cross, making a place in heaven possible for God's people, but He has done that in His very ascension into heaven. Christ has entered into the place of our desires, into heaven, and He busily prepares for us our place in heaven. Eternal death, eternal punishment, has already been taken away through Christ's death, and eternal life awaits us and is being prepared for God's people by Christ. So we must wait. We must wait on God. We must endure and remain firm in our resolve that all things in this life work toward that eternal state of glory. And while we endure, we are told that we must also be of good courage. We must be those who are steadfast in our courage. We must remain firmly fixed and immovable in our faith. Steadfastness is the ability to remain faithful and firm no matter what hardship befalls us. It is being able to face the storm of our life and to push on through it without wavering, without giving in. It is being convicted in our hearts that the circumstances and hardships of our lives do not take place by chance. All of them, however, in some way lead us to our heavenly home. And believing that, we are encouraged in our hearts. But just as the ability to wait on the Lord rests in Jehovah, is rooted in Jehovah, so also is the ability to be of good courage. To face adversity in life is not pleasant. In fact, to use the words of the writer to the Hebrews, it is grievous. It's frightening, isn't it, to live and to die with cancer. It's frightening to think that we are going to have to face tomorrow alone, without that loved one. Death is frightening. It's the worst of all our troubles to deal with the sin of a loved one that alienates them away from us and from that place of our desires so that we lose them. Who likes to face these things? Neither do we have the strength in ourselves to face these things. We simply in ourselves cannot endure or be of good courage either. So it is in these moments of life that we are enjoined by the psalmist here to look to God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. He shall hide me in His pavilion. In our need, therefore, we must listen carefully, quietly, and humbly to the instruction given us in these beautiful words. Why? Because God Himself will strengthen our hearts. That is what we are told. God strengthens, that is to say, God makes our hearts firm and sure. Have you ever been so frightened that you visibly shook from it? Well, that's the picture that the term strengthen here in this verse draws for us. We are so shook up by the adversities of our life, we are left totally weak, physically, emotionally, spiritually. We're shook up by that adversary. Well, we are told by the psalmist, when we wait on the Lord, then He will strengthen us. He will make us strong-footed. God gives strength to withstand any affliction and burden, no matter how much pain it may give us physically or in our soul. I'm reminded of the wonderfully comforting passage in Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. With the power that the God who never faints or is weary gives us, we will endure. We will be steadfast all the way to the end. You see, that's true of you and me because the strength of which this passage speaks is one that passes all human understanding. It is a strength that God Himself gives us in our hearts, that spiritual center of our being. It is a strength that has nothing to do with physical strength now. It's an inner strength, the strength of the heart. It is that inward man that receives strength from God. And with that strength, we can endure. I've seen that in my own pastorate as a minister. You can see a loved one who suffers patiently under his illness. And we can be so amazed at their strength. They're stronger than we are. We marvel at the confession of their mouths, even while they are racked with pain. I had that. I had an elderly saint whom the doctors kept alive with a respirator say to me, Even when he knew that the only thing between him and death was that machine, he said to me, and he said this to his family, "Do not make me stay here any longer. I want to go home." Strength. A strength that only God can supply. And let's not forget that this strength of the heart, God promises to give us. He gives it to us. He promises us that. James tells us that you and I therefore must ask that of God. Nothing wavering, because God will give wisdom and strength liberally. The psalmist in our text assures us that when we wait on God, God shall strengthen us. That's the word that's used. He shall, of a certainty. He will strengthen us. We bear in mind, once again, that this verse directs us to contemplate Jehovah, the covenant God, who is always faithful to His word and promises. And when we in our weakness turn to our Heavenly Father and say, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee." Then God hears us out of heaven, and He strengthens our hearts. When it is truly our desire to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, then God will see to it that such a desire is fulfilled. And adversity and trouble will not get in the way. No, God will even use these means in the service of fulfilling our desire. God swears by His own name to us that heaven is ours. We need not fear. And with that knowledge, we are of good courage and we wait. That is why the psalmist repeats those words in this passage. Notice once again just exactly how he says that. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He repeats it. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know the strength that God can give. You know that He will give you courage to face those troubles. Then wait on the Lord. In the light of what we have learned, we can be encouraged by God's promise to us. And though the battle is a wearisome one, though we may be weakened by it, we wait. And we wait. And sometimes we wait and wait and wait some more. But we wait in the strength of God. And one day, we will receive the desire of our hearts. Then we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. We must not overlook, therefore, this eternal reward that awaits us. It is that eternal home of ours, after all, that we always have before our hearts and minds, while we are suffering especially, that's true. In verse 4 of this chapter, we learn that heaven is the dwelling place of Jehovah. God is there. And that includes, of course, Jesus, since He is there sitting at God's right hand. Because they are there. Heaven is a place of beauty, a place of goodness. It's not marred by sin and the curse. We will not find in heaven that which causes all of the troubles and sorrows and heartaches in this present life. Furthermore, in verse 13, we learn that it is the land of the living. There is no death there, and of none of those things that lead to death either. There will be no more sickness there. There will be no more pain and sorrow and alienation from loved ones because of their sin. And there we will never die. nor will we ever be lonely, because God, our Heavenly Father and our loving Savior, will always be there for us. Those of us who are troubled by the adversities of life, look at the house of the Lord and know the afflictions of this present life are not worthy to be compared to the joy and the happiness that you and I will receive in heaven. In our sorrow and pain, in our loneliness, in the struggles of this life, we must realize that it will be worth it all when we get there. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. One day, we will mount up with wings as eagles. We will run and never be weary. We will walk and not be faint. The Lord is my light and my salvation. What shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Is that not true? Then wait, I say, on the Lord. Let us pray together. Our Almighty God, who holds all things in thy sovereign and good hands, we come to thee to thank thee that thou dost give us strength. If there are those here today who listen and are weary because of the struggles of their own personal lives, we pray that they might look to the cross of Jesus Christ and there know that salvation is accomplished, and that those who belong to Jesus Christ will mount up as with the wings of eagles, and that even now we can wait on Thee, our God, and we will find strength from Thee. Father, encourage us by Thy Word, and when in weakness we stumble, we fail to place our trust in Thee, pick us up and lead us in that way that leads to life everlasting. We ask these things for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
The gospel message you have just heard was sponsored by the Protestant Reformed Churches through its radio program, The Reformed Witness Hour. We hope that you have been edified and encouraged by this message. If you would like more information about the Reformed faith or the Protestant Reformed churches, feel free to visit our website at reformedwitnesshour.org or email us at mail@reformedwitnesshour.org.